14 months ago, Dr. Michael Benson came into office as the 12th president of Eastern Kentucky University, and a little more than a month ago, he was formally inaugurated.
Make no little plans. They have no magic to stir men's blood, and probably themselves will not be realized. Make big plans. Aim high in hope and work, remembering that a noble, logical diagram, once recorded, will never die. But long after we are gone, it will be a living thing, asserting itself with ever-growing insistency. Remember that our sons and our grandsons are going to do things that would stagger us. Let your watchword be order and your beacon beauty. Think big.
On this week's Eastern Standard, EKU President Michael Benson. Send your questions and comments now, WEKUEasternstandard@gmail.com, post on Facebook or send a tweet, or call 800-621-8890. It's time for Eastern Standard, right after the latest news from NPR. From the studios of WEKU on the campus of Eastern Kentucky University, it's time for Eastern Standard. I'm John Hingsbergen. Our guest today, Dr. Michael Benson, president of Eastern Kentucky University, actually the 12th president of EKU, started the job in August of 2013, formally inaugurated October 24th of this year. Dr. Benson served as the 15th president of Southern Utah University. He has worked and studied abroad, which he did for 7 years in Italy, England, and Israel. He contributes to the Huffington Post as a featured blogger on higher ed issues, authored a book on Harry S. Truman and the founding of Israel. And someday we need to have a conversation about that. That would be a fascinating program. Dr. Benson also has served as a consulting historian and essayist for both the Skirball Cultural Center in Los Angeles and the Harry S. Truman Presidential Library in Independence, Missouri. And he joins us today to interact with our listeners on Eastern Standard. Dr. Benson, welcome once again to the WEKU studios.
John, thank you very much. Just hearing the intro, you've got a great radio voice.
It's and a face for radio as well. But Dr. Benson, it's been far too long since we've had you here in the studio. Our goal was to get you in here maybe every few months or so. And this year, you've had a busy autumn. For some reason, your calendar was very difficult to access this fall once the academic year started in August. A lot going on this year with the inauguration. Why don't we start first with that? You've been on the job for 14 months. Why a need for a formal inauguration almost a year later, or actually over a year later?
Yeah. Well, we tried our level best to get an earlier date, but trying to coordinate an event like that with so many moving parts and a lot of schedules, we finally settled on a date that coincided with homecoming, and we wanted to have an event that involved as many people and as many events as possible. So throughout the course of the week, we had lectures and service projects and student activities, again, not to overshadow homecoming at all, but we wanted to kind of coalesce the two and get as many people involved as possible. And as I said at the program, sure, the attention's on the person being inaugurated, but inauguration's much bigger than any one individual, and we try to make it about the history of the institution and celebrating the past while reflecting on the present and planning for the future. And I really want to commend all the folks that worked so hard to make it come off as well as it did. It was a really nice event. And I've had a lot of people say it was well done and well presented. And to have the Speaker of the House there, the President of the Senate, and be sworn in by the Chief Justice was a real honor for the institution and a real honor for me. So I really want to thank everybody who participated.
Dr. Michael Benson is with us for this week's Eastern Standard, and I've failed to mention that the lines are open for your calls at 800-621-8890. That's 800-621-8890 if you have a question or a comment for the president of Eastern Kentucky University. We have a couple of emails already, which we'll get to shortly, sent to our address, WEKUEasternstandard@gmail.com. You can send us a tweet. First, follow us at WEKUEST, then send us a direct message by Twitter or post on the WEKU Facebook page. We have our student producers monitoring our social media and will let us know if we have any messages coming in that way. Again, that phone number, 800-621-8890. President Benson, you had been in Utah at Southern Utah State, is it?
Southern Utah University.
Southern Utah University. Uh-huh. And prior to your term here at EKU, and you were just back out there. Talk about your recent travels. I guess you were traveling with athletic teams for the last for a few days before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it was about a 12-day trip. Unfortunately, I didn't have a chance to take any time off this summer. We had too much going on, and so we had been planning for this trip with my children and my wife to try and make plan it around our football game in Florida, which was a great opportunity for our kids to play in the swamp against a really good SEC team. And as fate would have it, the president of Florida was the gentleman who gave me my start at the University of Utah, Bernie Machen, who is retiring next month after 11 years as president there. So it was fun to see him. He took us up into his box, and the kids got to go down on the field after. And, you know, what a great kind of moment of exposure for the university. We were mentioned in all sorts of national media given the changes at the University of Florida with their football coach. And then we hopped on a plane the next morning and went out to Utah and went to my old school, and they were incredibly gracious to us at an event before our game. And I was even more pleased that our Colonels beat the Thunderbirds. And then on Thursday, which was Thanksgiving Day, we had a chance to take the team down to St. George and kind of give them a history lesson and a geology lesson all wrapped into one, show them the northern part of Zion National Park, which is called Kolob. And for these young men, many of whom are from the southeast, they'd never seen topography like that. It's spectacular out there. And we had a wonderful Thanksgiving dinner together, and then we put them on a bus, and they headed back up to Provo, where they played my alma mater, Brigham Young, on Saturday night. And we had I had 44 family members that came between my wife's family and my family at the game, and it was great fun.
Wow.
And it was really, they couldn't have been more accommodating and more pleasant.
Am I correct in understanding that whole game with Southern Utah was a result of almost an aside that you had made at some point?
Yeah, I met Coach Neubauer. I'd heard about him. But when I first got here, I said, hey, Coach, it'd be great to have our team go out and play SUU and BYU. And I just kind of, it was almost a throwaway comment. And next thing I knew, Jeff had gotten on the phone and worked out a deal with Southern Utah and picked up the game with BYU, who's a very good team. You know, they made the tournament last year just like we did. But we were only down two at half. It's an arena that seats about 17,000 people. 22,000. There were 17,000 there. And it was awfully quiet in that first half when we were down two. But they kind of pulled away in the second half. But still, our kids played really hard. And I had people come up to me and say, man, that's a good team y'all have. And I said, yeah, we are. And wait till March when we peak.
Excellent. Michael Benson, the president of Eastern Kentucky University, is with us on Eastern Standard. 800-621-8890 is our phone number. Feel free to get on board. Send us an email. Send us a tweet. Post on the WEKU Facebook page. We'll come back to athletics, I'm sure, and some of the other initiatives underway on campus. But early in the program, I think it's appropriate for us to talk about some recent reorganizations that are happening on campus. Actually, you came into office in the summer of 2013 following some major reorganizations on the campus. And I'm assuming that worked out pretty well. What is, and of course, this most recent, much more minor, I guess, in terms of the number of people involved, received a little bit of press this week. Lexington Herald Leader reported on the fact that there were some changes underway in university administration. Can you give us a summary of what's going on?
Well, when I got here in August, you know, I had several months to kind of think about what we wanted to do, and certainly the reallocation that had taken place a few months prior put us in a position where we had some resources, ongoing resources, so we could, for example, create some new salary positions or faculty lines in specific bottlenecked areas. We also, of course, gave a raise to all of our employees. We've also undertaken some merit pay initiatives and some equity initiatives, and we will continue to focus on that. But I wanted to kind of take my time and be deliberate and be very careful and judicious in how we approached the reorganization in my own area. And we've actually streamlined our operation, consolidated some areas, and I brought in three new vice presidents, Scott Kaysen and Laurie Carter and Nick Perlick. And one of my management philosophies is you surround yourself with really good people, and you get them the resources to do their job, and then you let them do their job. So They then, in their respective areas, took on the responsibility of looking at what they had, what they wanted to do, and with direction from the President's Council in terms of our initiatives and our direction that we wanted to head, really let them make their decisions. So I've been supportive. These have been challenging times, to be sure, but I am fully supportive of the directions they're taking, and we'll continue to tweak and refine as we move along, as we move forward.
And the departments affected are communications and marketing, student success, and university development.
Correct. Yes, sir.
What will we see? Do you have any idea what we may see, the public may see soon as a result of these recent reorganizations? Certainly the communications and marketing. And by way of disclosure, WEKU reports to that department and Vice President Scott Kaysen. Will we see some new efforts in marketing and promoting the university?
Well, I think you've already seen some of them in terms of our branding and kind of a more unified look, more updated look for the university. Scott brought some of his team to our President's Council just 2 days ago and presented our new EKU handle, at EKU Stories, which in effect is the platform for all of the various media and the avenues that we want to utilize to get the word out. I started a Twitter account just a year ago, and with some reluctance, I didn't really think that much about it before. And when I got here, I had people say, look, this is the way students communicate, and you've got to get with it, and you've got to start tweeting. And so with some hesitancy, I began, and I hope I'm getting better, but I'm almost up to 4,000 followers. I picked up a bunch, John, when we had bad weather, and we would communicate via Twitter on closures or delays. That's when students really start paying attention. But I'll go around campus now, and students will want to get a selfie, and will want to tweet it, and will want me to go retweet something that is a Greek event, for example, or some other student activity. And again, I try and be judicious and not over-tweet, but this is one example that I'm using that shows that we're really trying to communicate with students that they're in the ways that they're accustomed to communicating. And whether it's through Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, we're getting the hang of it. And Scott is really savvy, and he's bringing together kind of resources to bear on this effort. And we're going to be a lot more, a lot more directed in how we get our news out.
So you've been kind of using the Twitter bully pulpit to help promote events for others across the university.
Well, there are a lot of presidents that do it. I kind of use as examples Santa Ono, who's the president up at Cincinnati, Gordon Gee, who's got 60,000 followers out at West Virginia, Michael Crow at Arizona State, and they're all at really big campuses, and so they have a lot of students that follow them. But presidents in this day and age, if they don't know about social media and how to communicate, I think are really underutilizing an avenue that's been terribly, I think, resourceful and very useful.
This is Eastern Standard. The president of Eastern Kentucky University is with us for today's program. We have a number of emails we're going to get to, and we'll get into some of that listener interaction after we take a short station break. We want to encourage you to give us a call at 800-621-8890. Julie Tennell is ready to take your call and get you ready to come on the air and speak with Dr. Benson. You can send an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Or follow WEKU, follow Eastern Standard specifically, at WEKUEST. We're up to 148 followers or something right now. But follow WEKU Eastern Standard and send us a direct message. Or, again, pick up the phone and call 800-621-8890. We'll be right back. This is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. I'm John Hingsbergen with Dr. Michael Benson, president of Eastern Kentucky University. And your listener comments or questions invited during the rest of our program, 800-621-8890, the phone number. Send us a tweet at WEKUEST, the email address, WEKUEasternstandard@gmail.com. And many other issues we can certainly address during today's program, but we certainly want to give our listeners an opportunity to set the agenda as much as you would like. And let's go ahead and jump into a couple of the comments. This one is from Isaac D'Souza, which merely says, tell Benson hi.
Well, thank you, Isaac. Hi back to you. Hope he's doing well.
Who is Isaac D'Souza?
It's a name I recognize. I think he's a student.
Ah, okay. Very good. Well, thank you so much for being in touch and letting us know that you're there. Say hey anytime you like during our program. And here is a note from this is Pat Litzel-Fellner, associate professor at EKU. My question, President Benson, what do you see as the future of tenure for Eastern Kentucky University professors?
Well, tenure for me is at the heart, really, of the academy. It's a long-standing tradition. It's one that certainly at times is assailed by various groups, and whether it's legislative groups or even governing boards. I think it's part of the whole cloth of a university. It's been around for a long, long time. Now, can it be refined and improved? Certainly it can. And we're going through a process right now in terms of post-tenure review and making sure people continue to be productive and contribute to the university. But as a principal, as I told the Faculty Senate last Monday, well, I had a conversation with Richard Day and a faculty member after, that as a administrator, I really leave to the academic side of the house, particularly the provost's office and the Faculty Senate, their governance, their, of course, rank and promotion processes that they oversee. My role is to get the faculty the resources they need to be successful, and tenure is one of those parts of the academic process that allows them to pursue their research interests, to prove that they're scholars and contributors in our university community. And again, you see states, for example, Texas, Wisconsin, out in Utah, we saw it periodically that legislators kind of take it on as an issue sometimes during a session. I haven't heard much of a flare up here in Kentucky since I've been here. I've heard bits and pieces, but no real serious talk of taking a run at it.
But tenure is a practice at Eastern, as it
is
at
other absolutely
universities.
Sure.
And how, I mean, how does not being in the academic side of things myself? How does one achieve tenure? You have to, is it a matter of longevity, a certain amount of time in the position as a professor?
Well, as you know, a faculty member will come in as an assistant professor, either in a tenure or non-tenure track position. Some universities have different kind of nomenclature and classifications. You can be a teaching professional with no aspirations to achieve tenure. But if you're kind of quote-unquote kind of true, pure academic, if you want to get into a tenure slot, you'll get into that assistant position. You know, after a certain period of time, you'll go through a peer review process. If your department, your college grants tenure, you then get a rank advancement. And it usually goes assistant, associate, full. We have another here. Of course, we have foundation professors at EKU, which is another kind of recognition of faculty that have made a real contribution, a notable contribution. And our faculty do. I mean, they're producing research, they're teaching. We hope they're focused on community service. So a lot of things go into those decisions. And again, that's an issue that the departments and colleges, I leave to them to make those decisions. And presidents rarely at all, if at all, get involved in tenure decisions. And that's the right practice.
Here's a note from Gretchen Bolton. Gretchen writes, please ask President Benson why insurance prices for sponsored dependents, domestic partners at EKU, increased so much when costs and benefits for spouses stayed the same. Spouse partner prices are the same for 2014, but 2015 prices for domestic partners are much higher.
You know, I'll have to look into that. I'd heard that there was a differentiation between the two, but I'm not, instead of making up an answer, I'll have to check on that.
But there's nothing specific in terms of philosophical on the part of the Board of Regents?
No, not at all. I mean, it was probably our health consultant, which we have, Anthem is our provider. It was probably a decision or a recommendation from the provider to us. So I will double check on that. And if I can get her email, John, if you'll forward it to me, I will get an answer back to her.
Very good. And our email address, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send us a tweet at wekuest or give us a call, 800-621-8890. The general public, university staff, students, faculty, feel free to jump on board at 800-621-8890. Dr. Benson, in January, has it been that long since we talked about major capital projects on the campus at Eastern? During your convocation address in August, you talked about some things underway and some of those things just started happening immediately. I know a major milestone was the groundbreaking for the second phase of the science building on campus. Can you talk about what's going on? The physical facilities around here seem to be changing kind of quickly.
Well, we've got no time to lose. As I've said, we have a lot of ground to make up, and our physical plant is well maintained, but the age of our buildings is a persistent kind of perennial challenge. By the way, I encourage people to follow us at EKU Builds, at EKU Builds, and on Twitter you can see daily updates on various projects. I think the tweet yesterday had to do with the relocation of some of the light poles as they begin the kind of staging of phase two of the science building. And as I said at the groundbreaking back in October, without sounding hyperbolic, I mean, this is a huge undertaking which will transform the face of our campus. You know, a project that's about $130 million, $340,000 square feet, covers roughly 8 acres. To have all of our science disciplines under one big, huge roof in a state-of-the-art facility that will, I don't think, be rivaled by anything else in the Commonwealth and possibly in the region. So that's one of many projects that we're undertaking. You know, the curb appeals I've talked about is very important, the way we present ourselves. If we take pride in the way we look, I think it says a lot about how we feel about the institution. So we've continued to, the signage and the new entryway as you approach now campus from Barnes Mill Road, where that tees into Lancaster. You don't see the backside of Combs Hall anymore, but once it's down, you'll see survey crews out there in the next little while as we begin the design of what that new entry point is going to be for campus. We'd like to extend the brick wall down Lancaster and back up the bypass, and again to continue to create more entry points into campus. You know, one of the challenges we have is there's no kind of big entry, main entry, a big gate. And so to try and allow points of entry that demarcate that, yes, you're coming into Eastern, we hope that you enjoy your visit and treat our campus with respect and care. And we say the same thing to our students, faculty, and staff, which they do. But So hopefully people are seeing some progress. I get comments in the community. We just, by the Chamber of Commerce last month, received a beautification award, which I immediately gave to our facilities folks and said, you're the ones, you know, I make a phone call, but they're the ones that actually do the work, and they deserve the recognition for how they're keeping up campus and making these improvements.
We're going to see an arboretum. We're going to see new tennis courts.
New tennis courts are just about built, and you mentioned that the other day, before we got started. They'll put the final surface on that when the weather improves, which may be a few months, but the old tennis courts will come out in the spring, and John Karloftis, who, by the way, is going to be one of our commencement speakers here in about a week for the December graduation, is going to design a kind of a sunken garden where the current courts are and create more of a pedestrian-friendly kind of circuit that we can then take through the backside of campus and back into the city. We're working with the city to try and make the entire campus kind of interface even more with downtown and how to make it more pedestrian-friendly and maybe push some of that vehicular traffic that's currently at the core, the epicenter of campus, to the periphery. And we're going to undertake a new campus master plan here in the next little while and hopefully get some good advice from some good engineers and traffic engineers about how we can do that.
Where does money for all of these capital projects and improvements come from?
I'll start with the science building. That I have to tip my hat to our legislature. The General Assembly appropriated all those funds. We certainly are thinking about a naming opportunity and have a couple of proposals that we're in the final throes of preparing to give to people to establish some scholarships and some other things. But, you know, some of the other things that we have ongoing funds for improvements. We get some resources from the state, for example, to make some of the improvements that we're talking about. But also some of this is institutional money that if it's important the way that we look, we're going to make an investment in improving our facilities. As I said, we have some deferred maintenance issues, but it's a combination of private dollars, state dollars, General Assembly appropriated dollars. All these kind of come into the mix to address these needs.
We might as well jump off into the topic of tuition and the cost of a college education. That continues to be an issue, and the amount of college loans that some students take on. Where does Eastern fit in terms of the cost of an education and the issue of tuition? Has tuition risen? I'm sure it has risen. How much has it risen since your brief tenure so far? And what do you see happening?
Well, the Council on Postsecondary Education, their board makes a recommendation on what we are allowed to do with tuition. They really set the caps. So they did a two-year tuition cap at 8%. And this last year, we took 5%, which was the kind of governor suggested and in a legislature mandated limit that we could do. And we spelled out very specifically in a truth and tuition hearing where those dollars were going to some of the increased costs that we have, the fixed costs. You know, we're 80% tied to personnel, so anytime you want to do things in terms of adding new faculty lines, the money's got to come from somewhere. And unfortunately, as the state support has declined in Kentucky for our ongoing budgetary needs, and we're not unique. I mean, it's happened across the country. We've had to rely on that one thing that we do have. I mean, public education's paid usually through property tax, but we have that kind of release valve, if you will, of tuition. And it's not an inexhaustible supply. I mean, I'll state that categorically. It's not that we can continue on this trend. And one thing I'm really trying to focus on and really preach wherever I go is that Eastern is that school of opportunity. It is the place where people came because they knew they could get an education at a price they could afford. And to close that off, foreclose that on people is not something we want to do. So we will continue to focus on ways that we can be more efficient, that will raise more money for scholarships. We'll continue to make the Eastern experience accessible to all that want it.
Speaking about finances, last year was your first year during the legislative session, and I get the impression that you were present frequently in Frankfurt, got to know some of the legislators, got to know the system a little bit during an important budget year. What's on the agenda in terms of interaction with the state lawmakers this year during the 60-day session?
Well, as they call it here, the biennium, this last one was big because of the budget. And while we had a slight decrease in our ongoing budget that the Assembly, General Assembly, appropriated roughly $540 million for capital projects, I think speaks to the state's commitment to public higher education. I've never seen that before. I mean, in Utah, at most, we got $120, $130 million in a good year. So for a state to say, hey, everybody gets a project and you need this on your campuses, so what project would you fund? And, of course, Science Phase 2 was our number one priority. This year, David McFadden and I spent a lot of time up there. We took our Board of Regents up there. We intend to do it again in February to kind of go and lobby and make our case and be seen. But he tells me that the non-budgetary sessions are more kind of fact-finding. We'll do more presentations to various committees. There'll be kind of an opportunity to make our case for some of our priorities. But given there's no budget bill, there's not going to be kind of that give and take in terms of the almost perpetual fight that one faces for more state funding. But we'll continue to make our case for our replacement from the Model Lab School, which will come out of a different fund. We're going to go through public education to try and make that happen, but also talk about our next kind of capital projects, which one of which is to rehab the Moore Building, and another is to address Begley. Begley's got some real serious infrastructure problems, so. While it's not a budget year, John, that was a long response to a very short question, but we're going to continue to be up there and be very visible and continue to lobby.
This is Eastern Standard. Eastern Kentucky University President Michael Benson is with us on this week's program. 800-621-8890 is the number you are welcome to call. You can send an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at WEKUEST or post on the WEKU Facebook page. We've had some interaction by all of those means. We have, I think, a caller who had called in with a question that I'm going to bring to Dr. Benson here in just a few moments. But moving from sublime issues like legislative issues and budget to a completely different area, an anonymous emailer wants to know about the Prez Hair Twitter feed. How did that get going? And I know nothing about that. Tell us more.
Well, John, I'm shocked that you don't follow it. So
I have not.
It's Benson's Hair, and it just came out of nowhere, literally. And I was walking across campus one day. In fact, I was outside the library, and the student approached me and said, "Hey, President Benson, I'm the one that started Benson's Hair." And I said, "Why on earth did you do that? Don't you? I'm sure you have other things to focus on." And she said, kind of tongue in cheek, she said, "Look, we just think you have magnificent hair." And I said, "Look, if you only knew how little time and attention I give my hair." I got to go get it cut today, by the way. Charlie Bogey's my barber. And so she started it, and it's fun. And I try to kind of play with it periodically, and I'll tweet something out. You know, during my inauguration day, I took a picture of it and said, you know, here we go. So it's kind of fun. And if students want to have fun with something like that, I welcome that.
Very good. That's the answer. So it's called
Benson's Hair.
Benson's Hair, Benson's for those Hair, who want to follow. And do anything about, know how many followers it has compared to the EKU Prez?
It's up to 100 or some. So my kids think it's hilarious. They really think they get a kick out of it.
Let's move to a very serious issue, which we may not finish in the 2 minutes before our next station break. But Marcia from Lexington left a message asking, or mentioning, that there has been a lot of coverage in national news about violence against women on college campuses. And Marcia wants to know, Dr. Benson, do you think this is a real issue? Is it a problem at EKU? And how is EKU addressing that problem? Of course, it's getting lots and lots of coverage nationwide.
It is. It's a very serious issue. We did a public service announcement following up on the president's recommendation. It's on us to stop violence on campus, particularly violence against women. The Chronicle of Higher Ed just came out yesterday with a cover story about alcohol consumption and binge drinking, and there's an inextricable link between the abuse of alcohol and assaults, particularly sexual assaults. There was a Rolling Stone article about what went on at the University of Virginia. This is raised to a national issue, and the volume around it is really, I think, finally forcing us to address it in an open and an honest and an aggressive sort of way. And we will not tolerate in any form violence against any student, particularly those against women, when there's not consent. And that's been a message that we've tried to relay and do it very positively but also forcefully. And you'll hear more from us in the next while, just like you will from campuses around the country.
But does Eastern have resources available then to
yes, we do.
Those who are victims of assault?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Violence against women, a major, major issue. We're going to talk about campus safety. We want to talk about the smoke-free campus in a few moments when we come back on this week's Eastern Standard. President Michael Benson is here with us. 800-621-8890 is our phone number. WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com is our email address. Send us a tweet at WEKUEST. Post on Facebook. That phone number, once again, 800-621-8890. It's Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. I'm John Hingsbergen with Eastern Kentucky University President Michael Benson. You're welcome to get on board with a question, a comment at 800-621-8890. Write to us, WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com, or send a tweet at WEKUEST. President Benson, we're talking about violence against women issues. What about other campus safety issues? The system here at Eastern seems to be very well worked out in terms of alerts. There have been a number of alerts go off in recent weeks over a number of matters, and it's been a couple of months. I guess it was very early in the academic term. There was actually a very violent situation, not on campus, but very close to campus, where there was a police chase, and mm-hmm. And actually the perpetrator, I guess, was killed in that incident. Of course, set off a campus alert. There have been some other alerts. There was one last week, a notification one evening that someone was reported with a gun on the campus. Talk about issues of campus safety. Of course, Eastern has the outposts with the blue lights, like mm-hmm. every campus does.
Well, we met about this on Monday with our President's Council about our notification system. We need to do better. I had several students tweeting me after the last one that from the moment that the police scanner, and I follow the police scanner, by the way, on Twitter, Central Kentucky Police Scanner, and you can get it immediately, the news. It was about a 25-minute lag between that and when we sent out our first alert. So we're going to do better. I pledge that we will do better to get the news out. People are now getting texts, phone mail, or voicemail messages, email.
Our university computers get a giant screen that takes
exactly,
over.
Exactly. Yeah, the kind of flashes red. It's happened on my screen, too. So we'll continue to refine that. The incident you talked about, that was a really scary situation, given that our football game had just finished and people were spilling out onto to Lancaster and the bypass, and it happened right there. And, of course, it instigated up in Lexington and made its way south. But we continue, of course, federal law requires that we report all incidents. But we have, by and large, a pretty safe campus, and it really kind of falls to all of us to make it even safer. If you see something or you're aware of some situation, notify the police. I really commend our police staff and our crew that I think do a fantastic job, but we'll continue to refine our notification systems and do even better.
Perhaps one of the more controversial things happening on this campus went into effect in the summer this year, the smoke-free campus, and there was a lot of advance notification, a lot of advance planning, and as of, I think, was it June 1st or somewhere?
June 1st, yep.
The campus was declared smoke-free. How is that working out?
Well, it's not without its challenges. I won't lie to you. People see the health benefits. They see the benefits kind of writ large to our entire university community. The fact that we don't have to put up with secondhand smoke as we walked in various areas on campus, or the cigarette butts that are littered about, or the chew or whatever. Those are all kind of collateral benefits from at the core of the policy that we try to implement. The challenge, I won't lie to you, has been in the enforcement and to try and get people to change behavior. And there was a student editorial in the paper that kind of took this on, and I don't disagree with people arguing that I have the right to smoke or I have the right to consume whatever I want and take into my body. Yes, that's true, but when that right infringes on my right to be in an area where I don't pose or is not posing a health threat to others, that's where we really want to kind of draw the line. So we've talked to other campuses, UK, Moorhead, Western and Murray are the two institutions public that have not instituted a tobacco-free policy as of yet, but all the other ones have, and they've had challenges as well. So it's going to take, a cultural sea change, if you will, a behavioral sea change on the part of our entire campus. We're not going to turn in the smoke police, but I've gone around, and if I see somebody, hey, just a reminder, we're tobacco-free now. Can you kindly put that out, and to do it with respect, and to treat people like they want to be treated. But that's posed a challenge.
There was talk about, and I'm not sure where this stands, about allowing the sale of beer, I guess, at athletic events. What about that?
Yeah, that was brought up by our student body president, Kyle Nicholas, who had read about, for example, University of West Virginia had just started regulating beer sales at their football games. Of course, they shut it off in the third quarter. To circle back to my comment in the Chronicle of Higher Ed, alcohol abuse is a challenge. It is a problem on campuses. And I'm not sure you want to mix that potential of a very kind of combustible situation with a large crowd like a football crowd. Some places are doing it, and I think the jury is still out. For now, we're looking at several options, but we'll just have to kind of take a wait and see. Western Kentucky University, for example, allows beer sales at football, basketball, and baseball. If we ever do, I think we'll start small and try it out and see what happens, but it's still kind of a wait and see.
Staying with the topic of football, basketball, baseball, Dr. Benson, you were named the first Ohio Valley Conference school president to be chosen for an NCAA committee representing FCS schools. FCS, I'm not quite sure what that is, but can you talk a little bit about that committee and that appointment?
Yeah, there are 9 members. It's the NCAA Honors Committee. And I got a note from our commissioner saying, does anybody want to volunteer to serve on this? We've never had anybody on this committee. FCS stands for Football Championship Subdivision. Oh. So it's the 120 teams that don't play in the bowl system. that aren't part of what they call the Power Five or the other five conferences. We're in the next kind of tier, if you will. And I put in an application, and lo and behold, I got selected. And I'm really honored and humbled to be on there. There are only two presidents. The former All-American wide receiver and a Pro Football Hall of Famer, Steve Largent's on there. He's the Theodore Roosevelt Award winner. So you have to have somebody who's gotten the NCAA's highest honor as a member of the committee. And we meet twice a year. We're going to meet next month in Washington, D.C., and cull through the nominations. And I'll take very seriously my role in helping select some of these student-athletes that represent all the best that the NCAA has to offer. It's not just about did they excel on the court or on the pitch or in the football field. It's were they a good student? Did they contribute to their campus? Are they a good exemplar of what the NCAA should represent? So I'm looking forward to it, and I hope I'll represent EKU in the conference as well as I can.
Are there any discussions about changes in the athletic programs here at Eastern? Seem to be vibrant programs, but for instance, last weekend's football playoff game was very lightly attended, to say the least.
We had made a commitment to be out in Utah, so we were sorry we missed it. But
I doubt if that accounted for a few thousand additional fans.
If we brought our family, then who knows? But I heard it was sparsely attended. We watched it on ESPN3 and streamed it online. But it's Thanksgiving break. Students weren't here. We did open the dorms back up so they could, if they want to come back for the game early. But the weather, I heard, was a little bit raw with the wind blowing. But, we were part of a 24-team field. We hadn't made the playoffs for a few years, and that's a big deal. 2011, I think it was our last playoff appearance. But, to your question, we just continue to improve our facilities and do better and recruit the right kind of student-athletes and be successful. And if another opportunity presents itself, then we'll consider it then. But for now, we are where we are, and we'll stay right in the OVC.
Dr. Michael Benson, president of Eastern Kentucky University, is with us. Phone lines open, 800-621-8890. Don't be shy. And if you prefer to remain anonymous, we'll certainly put your voice on the air without requiring the use of a name. Or if you prefer to just pass along a question, as has been done, Julie Tennell will very kindly pass along your question, and we'll get it in here for Dr. Michael Benson. 800-621-8890. The email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at WEKUEST or post on Facebook. You can talk about Eastern Kentucky University or the state of academics in general or the cost of college education when you contact us during the next 10 minutes of this week's Eastern Standard. 800-621-8890. What about academics? Any changes in academic programs? And there have been a couple of things we've done shows on. We did a show on gaming becoming a part of curriculum here. We did a show on fermentation programs here on the campus at Eastern. Are there some other innovative programs that either are historically in place that you've noted in your time here at Eastern or things that you'd like to see occur?
Well, I think our bread and butter moving forward is continue to do even better the things we do well, but find those niche programs, too, that nobody else offers. I mean, whether it's our criminal justice program, our PsyD, we now have a clinical doctorate in psychology approved by CPE that we're going to launch next semester. The fact that we have some of these other unique programs that are focused on our service area, the fermentation certificate you talked about, John Wade and some professors from chemistry came to see me about that. We're going to move forward with that. I mean, that's a really unique thing that we could fulfill the need of breweries around and distilleries and that sort of thing. I was approached by a local gentleman a short while ago about why don't we focus more on programs within infrastructure. I don't know if you saw 60 Minutes last week, but they talked about the crumbling infrastructure of America, bridges, roads, waterways that are literally ports that are falling apart. And I don't think there's a school out there that trains city managers or city engineers or people that want to get into construction specifically on helping shore up these needs, these very acute needs in our country. I've been on a SOAR committee right now, of course, to shaping our Appalachian region and to talk about the future of our area. And there's been a lot of talk about tourism. The fact that we don't have a hospitality program or a culinary arts program maybe those are two that could help fill a need, particularly unique to our area. So we continue to look at programs that I believe could be a unique marker for us, a unique niche, but also do even better the ones that we do well. And there are a lot of ones that we do well.
Eastern's Agriculture Department was, and I guess is part of the experimental program in hemp growing. What do you know about that?
I went out to Meadowbrook. This was before they had planted the first crop. But yes, this is a statewide effort. We're in partnership, I think, with Kentucky State and UK. And I think more has evolved too. But anytime, and you probably read just yesterday, this partnership with Kentucky State and Moorhead as it relates to various both academic and economic driver initiatives in our region, and we'll continue to do that as well.
And actually, you talk about collaborations and announcements. We really have not addressed the topic that was raised early in the beginning of the program. We talked about your whole theme of Make No Little Plans 2020 vision for Eastern Kentucky University. Talk about what might or what will yet develop as a result of that. I'm sure the physical facilities are important, and the logistical elements of various programs. But it sounds to me you're looking at a bigger picture when you talk that way.
Well, I noticed you played the quote that I used from Daniel Burnham, the famous Chicago architect, which I think is just it's one of those soaring kind of Churchillian quotes that every time I hear it or I read it, I'm never failed to be inspired, because it challenges us to not just focus on the here and now, that what we do, what we plan, what we put in place, what we implement is going to far outlive our tenure. So we cannot afford to be anything but bold and audacious and have the temerity to wake up every day and say, what am I going to do today to make Eastern a better place? And as I challenge everybody at the inauguration, we've got to be all in. I mean, we may have differences on a whole host of issues, but as it relates to moving Eastern forward, we don't have a day to lose in terms of both catching up with people that have eclipsed us, but also charting our own path. So if there's anything that I've tried to hope, I've hoped to inculcate in people and still during my time here, it's a can-do attitude that we're not going to be defined by our limitations. We're going to argue for what is possible and dream big and think big.
Let's go to the phone and talk to Adam. Thank you, Adam, for getting on the line with us, with Dr. Michael Benson, and raising the topic of the smoking ban. Adam, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, I listen to you guys every day at work. And I was listening to this guy, and he's talking about, you know, invading his airspace with people smoking. You know, I can understand inside of a building, and, you know, getting people to go outside to smoke, because it does bother other people. I'm a smoker, been a smoker for 25 years, and I'm healthy as a horse. But I just wonder who this guy thinks he is. The airspace that he claims is offending him outside, people smoking outside, that's just as much my airspace as it is his. You know, when is this going to stop? With all the issues that we have to contend with in this state, people smoking outside, silliest thing I've ever heard in my life.
All right, Adam, thank you so much for bringing up that question for EKU President Michael Benson.
Well, thank you, Adam, for your call. I think at the core is, again, I don't begrudge you the your liberty, your freedom, your decision to smoke. The issue for us is when people smoke on campus outdoors. If you walk in between classes on our campus, you'll see tens of thousands of our students trying to traverse. And anywhere they go through a cloud of smoke does impair on their health. And so we've tried to send a message that the smoking ban for our campus is public property, yes, but if you choose to smoke, you have to go off campus. And you'll now see people kind of lining Lancaster and some of the other periphery roads, but we are going to continue to focus on the center of campus here and make it tobacco-free and make it as healthy an environment as possible.
Adam, we're grateful for your call. Thanks for being part of this week's Eastern Standard. Let's see if we can briefly get to this emailed question. Many university administrative positions require graduate degrees. that equivalent positions in the corporate world would not typically require. While this makes sense on the surface for academic institutions to require high-level degrees, it also means someone who just graduated can apply, while someone with literally decades of applicable experience cannot. Does EKU have any plans to address these discrepancies?
Well, usually when we post a position, it will say, a graduate degree preferred, a doctorate preferred. It's not to say at all that there are people out there with years of experience that maybe they don't have the bona fides with regard to an academic credential. It really is a situation or a chance for us to take a look at people across a broad spectrum and get the very, very best candidate. Now, a teaching position, for example, is going to require a terminal degree, but the question here is about administrative positions. And some require some advanced degree, if someone's going to be our controller, for example, chances are they're going to have a master's in accounting or be a CPA. But there are other positions that we would consider a broad range of experience and take the best possible candidate.
All right. Well, we are just about out of time, and let's go ahead, Dr. Benson, once again, give out your Twitter handle. And, of course, we can't forget about Benson's hair or contact information for those who want to follow up with President Michael Benson.
Well, a new one that I mentioned at the outset, at EKU Stories, that focuses on three things: people, places, and programs, the three things I've tried to talk about. My own at EKU Prez, P-R-E-Z. I know the spelling is not correct. It's more phonetic, of course, at Benson's Hair, if you want a good laugh during the day. And then, of course, all of our other areas on campus, our sports programs, they all have their own handle for Twitter. But great way to communicate, and we try to employ it as best we can.
All right. And if you write to us at WEKU, we'll forward your message along to President Benson as well. President Michael Benson, let's not make it so long. Let's get back together soon in the new academic year, the new calendar year, actually, after the first. Great. Thank you.
Thank you, John, very much.
Eastern Standard is a production of the WEKU stations at Eastern Kentucky University. Our associate producers are Andrew Moorhead, Richard Turner, Morgan Crutchfield, and Logan Riley, who actually produced today's program. Our technical director is Brian Bartlett. A reminder, this show will be available online later today, hopefully within an hour or so, at WEKU, at WEKU.fm, and it'll also repeat on the air Sunday evening at 6. We're interested in hearing from you at any time. That email address, WEKU Eastern Standard @gmail.com. For WEKU and Eastern Standard, I'm John Hingsbergen. Thanks for tuning in.